It's time for You Talking to Me with your host, Big JD.
That's right, you're listening to You Talking to Me. I'm your host, Big JD. Jeremy Rigsby was program director of the Media City Film Festival in Windsor from 1997 to 2004, and he's been back since 2007. From 2005 to 2006, he was artistic director of the Images Festival in Toronto, and he's curated programs of film and video art for numerous venues internationally. And Una Mosna is also a program director for the Media City Film Festival since 2004, and she's represented programs that have toured venues internationally as well. And it's great to have Jeremy on the show. Welcome to the show, Jeremy.
Thanks for having me.
And Una, unfortunately, couldn't be with us today on the show, so I'll be talking to you primarily about the festival specifics. So maybe you can start by telling us about the Media City Film Festival and
sure.
What's happening?
Well, this is the 18th annual Media City Film Festival. Media City is an international festival for what we like to call artists' film and video. Some people call it experimental film or avant-garde film. We like the term artists' film because I think that is a succinct way of describing what it is. And it's a very different kind of approach to using film and video. It is the use of film as a visual art form. It's not at all like what you see, in a commercial cinema. It's not even at all like what's usually called independent filmmaking or so on. Mm-hmm. It's very different from that. It's more akin to art, that takes place in a context of galleries and that kind of thing. There's artists using film and video for that reason, even though the screenings, of course, take place in a cinema, they happen in that context, and that's important part of the experience. So, Media City opens in Windsor tonight at the Capitol Theater. It runs through Saturday, May the 26th. All of the screenings in the evening take place at the Capitol, and we have some daytime events that are at the Art Gallery of Windsor as well.
All right, and there was a kickoff yesterday in Detroit. Tell us a little bit about that as well.
We did. We have a sort of pre-opening screening customarily every year in Detroit at the Detroit Film Theater, at the Detroit Institute of Arts for a few years. A filmmaker from France who is in attendance, his name is Nicolas Ray. He showed his new film. It has kind of a funny title, Anders Malusienne, or Differently Malusia in English. So that went very well. We had a nice little crowd, and Nicola did a very good Q&A. And tonight we'll have our opening festivities here in Windsor. We'll begin with an opening reception at 6 o'clock at the Capitol, followed by a screening of Super 8mm films by Ian Baxterand at 7:30.
Which is something we'll talk to him about today, because he's going to be joining us. We have Ian Baxterand, Nikki Hamlin, and also Kevin Everson here on the show today. And now, you've, Jeremy, worked in this field all over the world. What is it about Windsor, Detroit that is obviously special enough to keep you doing this here or coming back?
Well, Media City in general is one of very few festivals worldwide that specialize in artist film. Mm-hmm. There are other very major festivals for this kind of work. But they tend to take place in the context of other larger festivals where all sorts of other films are being shown. So what I really like about working for this festival is that it's just focused on artist film, and we can keep it focused that way. And it's a place where there's advantages of doing it in a city like Windsor, which is, let's say, not one of the world's, cultural capitals. It doesn't have that kind of population. It's not New York or Tokyo or Paris, where there are other major festivals for this kind of thing. And it's, I think, part of the attraction for a lot of the artists who want to exhibit here, that they can come to a place and come to an event that's just focused on the work and focused on meeting their peers and their colleagues. And it's a very intensive and serious environment for showing artist film. They can have discussions about it with both the audience and their fellow filmmakers who are visiting from around the world in a way that's very, very receptive. Mm-hmm. And very accessible for themselves and for the audiences. And I think the artists appreciate that. They can just be concentrated. And it's not It's not a distracting sort of environment, or it's not like at some other major film festivals where the experimental work is sort of shuttled off to the side,
right,
and,
sure.
and yeah, and it's hard to meet people, and there's 10 things going on at once, and you know, that's not what happens with Media City.
And it seems a lot more intimate.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. So you also write an interview on the subject of art, and you've had your work published in a number of magazines,
yeah, and a few publications and such things.
Yeah. And I guess we'll bring in Kevin J. Everson. He's also with us today. And Kevin was born and raised in Mansfield, Ohio. He has an MFA from Ohio University and a BFA from the University of Akron. And he's currently an associate professor of art at the University of Virginia. Welcome to the show, Kevin.
Thank you, Big JD.
It's great to have you on. Over the past 15 years, you've completed several feature films and over 50 short films. In fact, I think I've read maybe over 70.
Yeah, I think the number's growing by the day.
Yeah. And where are some of the places, I guess, that besides Media City Film Festival that your works have been shown? I know Sundance is one of them.
Yeah, I showed that, Rotterdam, the Rotterdam International Film Festival, Oberhausen, LA Film Festival, Ann Arbor, Images in Toronto, mm-hmm. and Toronto International Film Festival. And
you've been at Media City, the film festival here, a number of times.
This is the fourth time in a row. I love it here. Like I said, like Jim Reese said, I like these small, I like festivals that are in small towns, because mm-hmm. you do get to meet your peers and stuff, and everybody's going to the same venues and stuff. So.
Yeah. And you were the subject of a recent solo exhibition at the Whitney Museum in New York as well. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I had Chrissy Isles curated me. She's the film curator at the Whitney Museum of American Art in New York. And then I had a solo show up there, I think, from April to September last, in 2011, yeah.
Okay. Mm. And your films tend to combine scripted work and documentary filmmaking. I guess you kind of restage archival footage. Can you explain that?
Yeah, I for years, I remember maybe about 7 years ago, I was trying to find archival footage that had African Americans in it. But mm-hmm. then, so when I couldn't find, then I started making it up myself. And then I started finding it, I kind of reenacting and restaging. And one of the films I'm screening here will have that kind of element in it. Yeah.
And that leads me to my next question. What are we going to see from you? Because I think you have more than one film here, too.
Yeah, I have three films playing tonight at 9:30, part of one of the international competition programs. I have this film called Rita Larson's Boy, where it's basically a kind of fake audition. Like, for years, I was trying to find this actor named Nathaniel Taylor, who was actually grew up in my parents' hometown of Columbus, Mississippi. Mm-hmm. And Nathaniel Taylor is one of two fine Americans from Columbus, Mississippi. The other one is Tennessee Williams, the playwright. And so Nathaniel Taylor, he starred in this American television show called Sanford and Son. It was a sitcom, and he was one of the, I think, the son's best friend is what did. Yeah. He was
still watching.
And then for years I was trying to find Nathaniel Taylor, and I was trying to find and after that I gave up, and then I think he just kind of dropped off the face of, I think he changed his name and dropped off the face of Earth. And then so I tried to find
Find him?
No, I never find him, no. And I was going to use him in another feature film I did like years ago. But then so I was trying to find his audition tapes, like the audition for that role, and I couldn't find it. So then I started to restage if people were auditioning for his particular role as Rollo Lawson in Sanford and Son. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. And your features, maybe we could talk a little bit about, is there something in particular that you're fond of your feature-length film?
It depends on what I'm doing that year. I usually, there's usually kind of a formal quality I'm trying to exercise, like, each year. And I think 2 years ago, one of the features, Erie, was the opening night film in Detroit here for Media City. So that was a lot of fun, yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. And it was like a series of single takes of the changing economy in this particular region of North America, yeah.
Okay. We're going to take a quick break, and maybe before we go to break, Jeremy, you can let us know where listeners can find the Media City Film Festival on the web.
The best thing to do is go to MediaCityFilmFestival.com. That's where the schedule, ticket, venue information is. Our full-color 80-page catalog is also there where people can flip through as a PDF. Or the hard copies of the catalog are also available in selected locations in downtown Windsor as of now.
Great. When we come back, we'll talk to Nikki Hamlin, and as well, we'll talk to Ian Baxteran right after this.
You're listening to You Talking to Me with Big JD on CJAM 99.1 FM, redefining radio in Windsor and Detroit.
Do you have an interesting career? You have an interesting life experience to share with others. If you'd like to be a guest on You Talking to Me, contact me, Big JD, at the You Talking to Me website. That's youtalkingtome.ca. The letter U, talking, the number two, me, youtalkingtome.ca.
All right, we're back. Nikki Hamlin is a filmmaker and writer on artist experimental film and video based in Lewes near Brighton, UK. And he teaches at the University for the Creative Arts in Kent and Surrey and at the Royal College of Art in London. Nikki's book, Film Art Phenomena, was published in 2003 by the British Film Institute. And he's here with us today. Nikki, welcome to You Talking to Me.
Thank you.
It's great to have you on the show. You studied fine art at the University of Reading from 79 to 81. Has fine art or the study of fine art changed a great deal over time?
It's got a lot more bureaucratic than it used to be.
Oh, yeah?
And I think theory has become more and more important. And when I was a student, we did art history. And a lot of that art history isn't really taught anymore. It's kind of been replaced by theory, which is a rather vague term that covers all kinds of things. That's one of the major things that's changed, I think. That and the fact that, the growth of technological media like film and especially video, all those new technologies have fed into art education as well.
Mm-hmm. And you were workshop organizer at the London Filmmakers Cooperative, where you co-founded the magazine Undercut. Tell us a bit about the magazine.
It was a magazine that was started, that was run from the London Filmmakers Co-op, and it was to try and publish essays and photo pieces and a mixture of different kinds of work about artists, film and video, and some photography too. And I was one of several people that founded it, and it ran for about 10 years, and for 20 issues, and then a few years ago there was a compendium, a selection was published by Wallflower Press, I think, who did a... So some of that material is still available, it's still in print.
Your work's been exhibited at venues and festivals worldwide, and as well, 6 previous editions of the Media City Film Festival, and maybe you can tell us your thoughts on the Media City Film Festival you've been coming back.
Well, I think they very much echo what Jeremy and Kevin said, really, that you can see all the work comfortably. You don't have parallel programs running and where you've got to think, oh, well, which one shall I go
right to?
You can see all the work, and the programming is very intelligently programmed, but it's also programmed in such a way that you can see all the work without feeling exhausted and jaded. You know, I think that's very important. And as they both said, you know, you meet people. It's very sociable. It's just a very well run event, really. And compared to something like Rotterdam, which is a bit of a nightmare, really. You've got so many things going on. It's difficult to kind of talk to people, and this is much more conducive to all of that, really.
You've completed over 40 works, I guess, since 74. Are you doing things primarily the same way that you've always done films and on 16mm, or have changes in technology led you to do anything differently?
Well, I'm still using film predominantly, 16mm film, and I suppose... It's never been a cheap medium, actually. Even when I was a student, it wasn't particularly cheap. But I've become more conscious of the costs, and to some extent, that's influenced the way that I make work. So I tend to work with smaller units of time than I might have done in the past. I mean, in the 80s, I made several longer films. The longest one was about 40 minutes, and I can't really imagine doing that again now. But I have made a number of pieces using a variety of either digital stills cameras or camcorders. But they're very different to the work that the way I work with film, and quite a lot of those pieces have sound, for example, which most of my films don't have. So I think they're very different media, really, film and video, and especially in this context, the differences are really important. They may not be important in for say TV production, but they're important for this kind of context.
Mm-hmm. And tell us about your workshop for Media City, the 2012, that was held at the Art Gallery of Windsor. And had you given workshops in this manner before here for Media City? Or?
No, this is the first time I've done that. And it was part of the residency. I did a three-week residency at the Art Gallery. And the work that I made in the residency will be shown at Media City on Friday evening. And during the residency, I did three consecutive one-day film workshops. So you would go from learning how to load a camera, how to use the camera, how to use a light meter, shoot a roll of film and then develop it and then project it, so that the students would see the whole, kind of get an overview of the whole process. And then the videos are posted on Vimeo, so they can see the work on Vimeo.
Very cool. You explore the basic elements of the filmic experience, the relationship between film, space, and the film frame, between time, flicker, and movement, light, and the material image. Individually, those things are pretty straightforward, but in exploring them like you do, and the relationships, what are some of the results or conclusions that you've come to in exploring these things?
Well, I suppose quite a lot of what I've done has tended towards abstraction, but not all of it necessarily. And I don't always work in that kind of animation way. I mean, quite a lot of my work has been made like doing animation, taking one frame and then another frame mm-hmm. individually, rather than shooting off 24 frames a second. I don't know what else I can say about that, really. the work that I'm showing, the work that I've been making here, some of it is quite abstract looking, but it's all based on locations in and around Windsor. So there's often this kind of tension between something that's recognisably what it is and the abstract qualities that emerge through different kind of filming procedures. Mm-hmm. But I have made other work which is much more kind of straightforwardly representational. But there's always an attempt to challenge the viewer in some way, or to create disjunctions which make it not easy just to simply read off what you think you're looking at and kind of understand it. That's what I hope for anyway, so...
Right. Yeah. I wanted to ask you about your 5-9 film exhibit in a former commercial vehicles factory, and the significance of the title that you'd given it.
Oh, 5-9. I can't remember why it was called that. Well, it was the opposite of 9-5, but it meant something. I'm just trying to remember what it meant, actually, now. I think it was maybe it was when the show was open, because it was a series of site-specific film and video projections which were projected onto the windows of this... it was actually a bus factory in a town called Maidstone in Kent.
And yeah, I think I recall reading something to the effect that you wanted to show something about the time from... between, I guess, the end of the workday and dusk.
I think the 5-9 referred to the opening hours of the show, actually. So it was 5-9 rather than 9-5, because it had to be dark for the show to take place.
Okay.
It happened, in the middle of winter, so by 5 o'clock it was dark.
All right.
And my film was shot through a window. It was a time lapse film, so it was taking one frame every 5 seconds or something for 24 hours, from midday to midday, looking out of a window across the river to a train station, and then the film was projected onto the same window through which it was filmed. So that was the idea.
And those films were silent?
Yeah. You have naturally occurring sound, actually, with the trains coming past. So you have a kind of soundtrack, but it's like a live soundtrack rather than a recorded one.
Okay. So you didn't have to actually add anything?
I don't know, really. It did add something, yeah.
So what can we expect to see from you at the 18th Annual Media City Film Festival?
Well, there's a projection of a film which I've made of a set of paintings by an English painter called Angela Allen. That's actually running in the Art Gallery of Windsor on a loop, but it's also going to be projected in the theatre, in the Capitol Theatre, on Friday, plus the... 7 short films that I've made during the residency, which total about like 16-17 minutes of material. Mm-hmm. And most of that material has been hand processed and printed using a camera as a printer, so it's kind of rather like the way films are made in the early days of cinema, plus there are a couple of colour sections as well.
And then, of course, we'll see those films that you made during the workshop,
the student films. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know whether they'll be shown or not.
Oh, okay. I thought you said that those were going to be shown.
Possibly, yeah.
But they are online.
They are online on Vimeo, yeah.
Yeah. Cool. And they can just search your name and find those, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, great stuff. And Jeremy, maybe again, did you mention that you guys are on Facebook as well when you...
Yeah, there is a Facebook page,
right?
Facebook page for Media City as well. Yeah,
cool.
Yeah, there's regular updates of what's going on, and we'll probably have sort of day after updates as well about some things that happen. We'll be putting some videos up there, some interviews with artists as the festival proceeds. Yeah,
yeah, great. And as well, there's a big after party at
every night.
Every night, okay. Yeah. All right, Ian Baxter-Ann is recognized internationally as an early practitioner of conceptual art, and he is Professor Emeritus at the School of Visual Arts here at our University of Windsor and a member of the Royal Canadian Academy of Arts. Ian, it's great to have you here with us today.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Big JD.
You were born in Middlesbrough, England in 36, and at just a year old, your family emigrated here to Calgary. And so what brought your family to Canada?
Well, my dad was a mechanical engineer, and he got a job at Dominion Bridge Company. So we ended up in Calgary. So that's my roots, in a sense.
Tends to be work that people emigrated over,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah, so it was really great to grow up in Calgary because it's probably the only place, one of the few places in North America where you can experience the prairie and experience mountains at the same time within an hour. And so I grew up in that context, which was really enjoyable.
Were you familiar with a band at all called The Gods?
No. Because I wasn't really young at that moment. I stayed there about 18 years, and then I went to University in the States at University of Idaho and Washington State University.
Right. And you received your degrees in the U.S., but you studied art and aesthetics, I guess, in Japan.
Yeah,
Tell us about that.
I went there, but the interesting thing, I think, for me was that I never really went through an art school. Like, what I did was study zoology. So I did a degree in zoology, and luckily I learned about ecology before it was a buzzword. So that became a kind of driving force in all my work all these years, in a sense. And I became aware of Buddhism, and that interested me in going to Japan. And then my first job was at UBC in 64, teaching in the fine art department, and that's where I ran into Marshall McLuhan. And all these ideas are what have been swirling around in my head for the last 50 years, right? And I also had a chance to work as, it's kind of important in the way that my work has happened, at the Center for Communication in the Arts, which evolved at Simon Fraser in 66. And it was one of the few centers ever to try to bring dance, music, film, theater, and comm studies all together in one place. And so I was in that crucible at that time, and it was helped form a lot of my ideas. And a lot of these films you're going to see are from that period.
And I wanted to ask you about the Anything Company, and which you co-founded. And what was the company, and why did you start that?
Well, I kind of created and formed the Anything Company because it was a way to penetrate a new dimension into what an artist could be. And in a way, I see it as a found object to use, like Duchamp's urinal or the shovel or in advance a broken arm. A corporate structure at that time in the mid-60s was for me a found thing that I could use. It gave you a better entree into situations. So I formed it and legally set it up with lawyers and things and then exhibited with that. And then it went along for a number of years. And that's, I had to force a lot of curators to get used to all that idea, right? And so then, and I did a lot of photography. I did a lot of documentary photography in the late 50s because of the environmental research we were doing in southern Idaho. And anyway, so all that grew, and then I kept on moving and going to Europe and using Polaroid film and everything. But along the way, I've always used, you know, movie cameras and this thing we're doing now in this festival is some of these real early little 3-minute discs that happen, 3-minute tapes.
And Ian, in fact, has a camera around his neck.
Yeah, well, it's just a part of my way of going. Itinerant visual artist is what we all are.
Now, I find this incredible. In 2005, you legally changed your name from Ian Baxter to Ian Baxter-Ann using the actual ampersand. And I wouldn't even have thought that was possible, but it's pretty fascinating.
Well, it's kind of the way that I think all the time about. I play a lot with language. If you can imagine, you know, capital N, capital E thing. My name is E-N, and I switch those around. So I'm always playing with language. But I just realized that maybe, well, for me anyways, life was about ands. I mean, and I'm here now, and I met these guys that I've never met. So it's always about another and. So I thought, well, to make that a part of my life might be a nice way to function as and keep carry on the performances that we were all in a sense, right? So that's what happened. So I went to Ontario government, and it's now become a major part of how I function as an artist.
And as well, you have them tattooed
on
your hands?
Well, I decided the word hand has an and in it, so I thought
I'd
do that there. And also, I've just legally trademarked the and in Canada.
That was my next question. Yeah. I had heard that you had
I did. I worked with several lawyers for the last couple of years. I wanted to be able to use it in whatever way I wanted, and so
right.
I've done that.
And you through research or something, found that it wasn't patented?
No, it wasn't. That symbol itself.
Is the copyright sign patented? I wouldn't mind owning that.
So anyway, so that was a whole... So that's kind of happened just in August, last August. But anyways, but the other neat thing is I just have a major 50-year show at the AGO. It'll be on until August. Of my kind of a visual arts career, and also it opened in Museum of Contemporary Art in Chicago in November, and so that's been fun to work on. Now, so I'm really excited to
I'll
be
cross that
festival.
Question off my
I'm really excited to be here, and our festival is really great, and Jeremy and Una are to be commended for pulling all these ideas together. So my theory right now is that Windsor, instead of calling it Windsor, it's Windsor. S-O-A-R, because Windsor, I think,
it's
is
soaring.
A new soaring phenomenon in this new...
I thought you were going to say Windsor Ann.
And Windsor Soaring.
I want to talk to you about Super 8.
Sure.
And the program's organized by the Media City Film Festival and the Art Gallery of Windsor, and this is the first public screening of the Super 8 films that you created?
Well, they were shown a long time ago in the 80s at AGO. I had an earlier kind of retrospective, but this is the first time in a film festival, and it's kind of exciting. Or to use an English word, I'm chuffed that it's happening. And so that's kind of neat, because I'd rather call myself a maximalist than a minimalist. I kind of work in a whole bunch of different directions, and it's kind of neat that we, because I have so much stuff. I live in a kind of creative compost, so somehow we found all these guys in a box, and so it was great to talk to Jeremy and Una about doing this.
Right?
I mean, the other thing maybe that's worth mentioning about Media City.
Here, give him the mic.
Is that the films will be very well projected. The projection here is really second to none, including the Super 8, and they've hired in a special Super 8 projector with a xenon bulb to show them in the best possible way.
Yep.
Yeah, and that's great, because it's not very often done like that. So it'll give them a good resonance. That's be nice. I'm really excited to see them myself again. So that will be neat. And I'm also doing a thing on Friday. A special seminar of some new videos that I've made.
Oh, okay, great.
And there'll be a kind of discussion and so on at 2:00 at the Art Gallery of Windsor.
And you taught here at the university?
Yeah, since 1988 in the whole area of the visual arts. And I enjoy teaching. That's kind of a major part of my way of thinking and working.
All right, well, we're pretty much out of time, and I really appreciate everybody for being on, and wish you great success here at the Media City Film Festival and the Media City Film Festival itself. And maybe again, Jeremy, you can tell us where we'll find you guys on the web for tickets, and everything really starts tonight.
Starts tonight with our opening reception at 6:00 at the Capitol Theater. Screenings at the Capitol Theater from following until Saturday the 26th. MediaCityFilmFestival.com. Scheduled tickets, venue information.
All right, great. Thanks everybody for being on the show. Well, be sure to check out this year's Media City Film Festival. The rest of the festival events are primarily at the Capitol Theater in Windsor, and visit MediaCityFilmFestival.com for more information, their online catalog, and ticket pricing. And next week, we'll talk about life behind bars with Michigan Corrections Deputy Carla Wilson. Don't miss that one, or we'll lock you up. I'm Big JD. Thanks for listening.